The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
You know, the guy in the Defense Department now, this creature from Harvard, this physicist who has never fired a Daisy BB gun, has so denuded the United States military that it's going to take more than Mattis to restore what this man has done. But then the stooge in the military right now, so-called Defense Department, whatever his name is, Ashton Carter, you know him, Mr. Shaky Voice, the man who put surgery for transsexuals ahead of surgery for battle-injured troops. Can you imagine that there is no punishment for men like this? Can you imagine we live in a nation where a man can come in and gut a defense department like this simply for the contracts he can steer to his friends? It's unbelievable to me. Well, maybe this will all change now that Donald Trump is president. So this is a great appointment. Mattis is defense secretary. Great pick. I would thank Donald Trump personally, and I will actually thank him personally when I do see him. But the fact of the matter is, I wrote about Mattis a couple of years ago. It was in October of 2014 that I published a book entitled Stop the Coming Civil War. I was raising the red flags about Obama, how he had purged more than 200 U.S. military officers at the rank of colonel or higher since he became president. In 2009, he had fired over 200 U.S. military officers, replacing them with useless puppets. And one of those fired by this communist president of ours, this Castroite, was General James Mattis. Who is James Mattis? First of all, he's a great Marine. He's the former head of CENTCOM. In January 2013, Castro's cousin, Fidel Obama, dismissed Mattis, the general, for being too much of a hawk, especially when it came to the administration's lenient policy toward Iran. The fact of the matter is, Mattis understood how dangerous a nuclear-armed Iran would be to our allies and to U.S. interests in the Middle East, and he was not afraid to speak out. Mattis, who once famously said, quote, and I can't say the whole sentence here, it's on page 61 of the book, he said, there are some AHs in the world who just need to be shot. And he was known among his peers as someone who could defend the military in its ongoing dialogue with government functionaries. Both soldiers and civilians respected the general, and he wasn't about to kowtow to anyone. He was exactly the type of commander that Obama both shrinks from and does all he can to remove. Why do you think Obama removed Mattis? You have an idea why he threw him out? The general had received a note from one of his own aides telling him he was being replaced as the head of Central Command. Not one of the low-life weakling stooges from the Pentagon or the communist White House was gracious enough to inform him about this. I can relate to that. That's what they do to big men. I've seen it happen in my own life just recently. They're afraid of men like us. And so the sneaks in the night have underlings do it for them. But then eventually the men like me come back to the surface, and the underlings run like the cockroaches they are when the light is shown upon their behavior. Others fired were two of our top nuclear commanders, Major General Michael Carey, Vice Admiral Tim Giardina. Both left the armed forces within days of each other, both because of personal misconduct. According to reports and emails leaked to the press, they were not even given a trial. The girls around Obama, the girls he put uniforms on, the fake tin warriors that Obama put into the Pentagon did this to them. The official report on General Carey's dismissal says this. They said that while on temporary assignment in Moscow, the general went on a vodka-drinking binge one night, and he needed assistance standing at one point. Can you believe this? And he had tried to get up on stage with a Beatles cover band in a Mexican restaurant in Moscow. And that was the reason to fire a combat general? Yes, if you're one of the cowards in a uniform who really belongs as an usher in a movie theater. Do you know who this man was? And do you know why he was really fired? I have it all for you on the Savage Nation, because maybe we have hope to restore our military after this communist regime is finally thrown out of office. Do you know who this man was, General Michael Carey? The man who was thrown out for drinking vodka and dancing on a stage? At the time he was fired by the girls in the band, he was commander of the 20th Air Force, responsible for all 450 of the Air Force's Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missiles located in five U.S. states. You know who else he is? Prior to that, General Carey actually served in both the Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom operations. He was also the recipient of no fewer than 13 major military awards and decorations. And the vermin in Obama's Defense Department, the fakers in uniform, threw him out. Carey is an American hero, and yet he was relieved of duty for drinking vodka in Russia. Was it not possible for the Air Force to provide an officer with Carey's credentials some sort of rehabilitation for the alleged alcohol problems instead of firing him? I hope that Donald Trump and General Mattis get together and bring back General Michael Carey next. But now I'll go to the next one. Who else did the communist president fire? Jim Giardina. Now, all of this has been lost by you. Most of you don't know this, but I remember everything. I record everything. I absorb everything. I sort everything. And I put it into my books. So let me read what else you need to know about Giardia. Scorched Earth took it from here. Charges against Vice Admiral Giardina were no less fantastic. Do you know who he is? Fired by the cretin in the White House? Giardina was a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, a three-star admiral, who was the former deputy commander and chief of staff of the Pacific Fleet. Now, I wrote, you'd think that if you were going to relieve someone of this stature of his command and reassign him to a desk job, you'd come up with serious charges related to the performance of his duty. But in a move that had to be approved by the president, the sneak himself, Giardina was demoted for having played poker with counterfeit $100 chips in the Horseshoe Casino in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Now, that was never proven, by the way. That's number one. In other words, both of these commanders who have outstanding military records and who have risen to the tops of their commands were dismissed on charges that, in my opinion, would likely have gotten an enlisted man no more than a slap on the wrist. Or let us say one of the girls he put into office. Do you know who the Secretary of the Navy is? Do you know the Secretary of the Air Force has never flown an airplane? Do you know that? One commentator described it this way. This move is exceedingly rare and perhaps unprecedented in the history of U.S. Strategic Command, which is responsible for all U.S. nuclear war fighting forces, including nuclear-armed submarines, bombers, and land-based missiles. So why did Obama purge them? I have the other names of the military men who may be coming back to defend this great nation now that we have swept out or will soon sweep out these turncoat rats that Obama has put in. But Donald Trump is going to need our help every step of the way. Thank God he started at the top and he put Mattis back where he belongs. And let him go after the internal enemies first. That's the only way we will survive. He must purge the military of the KGB-like operatives that Obama planted in every avenue of our armed forces. And that's the beginning of my show. There are other topics I want to talk about, and here's one for all of you. Trump voters out there, many of you know that this show is responsible for having elected Donald Trump. Not the only show, but the most important of all the shows. This was the show that pushed him over the finish line. Are you happy so far, or do you have buyer's remorse? I'm opening it up to you. Many of you are not happy with some of his choices. I've expressed my discontent with him having chosen the RNC guy to be his chief of staff. I don't think it was a smart move in terms of placing true Americans, true American conservatives in high places. I fear that it's going to be all Republican operatives, all of the type that we got rid of with Bush. It seems to me personally that it's though Jeb Bush won on certain levels, and that we're going to have Bushies everywhere rather than Trumpies. That's a nice phrase, Bushies instead of Trumpies. But the question is, are you happy so far, or do you have buyer's remorse? We're also open for Dr. Savage lifestyle questions. Yesterday I did some interesting topics, including the one on addictions around the holiday time, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, sex addiction. We had some great calls. I know many of you want to hear some of them again. And I invite you to call at 855-400-7282. In addition to that, I just received last night the actual presentation from the National Radio Hall of Fame induction. I'm not going to replay my speech because you have already heard that, and you can get it on michaelsavage.com. I have instead just a few minutes of the introduction in Chicago where my name and my, I would say my archives are going to probably wind up there, some of them, will be alongside the greats such as Orson Welles and Walter Winchell. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The world has changed. It's a new world. It's a new world order. First of all, we won the election. I don't live every day now fearing that the NSA is spying on me or that the FBI is going to throw a black bag over my head and take me away one night. Do you know that I actually lived in that fear under the regime of Obama? And they're not gone yet. These fascists who are disguised as good liberal progressives are still in power. And they still frighten me, by the way. Every last one of them belonged in the ex-Soviet Union. And they're not going anywhere. That's my fear. I remember when Trump won that night. The next day I woke up, I looked at the sky. The sky looked as though it had opened up. The sky looked clear. It looked. A friend of mine said, it's as though a portal to another world had opened up for all of us. We were no longer living in this closed world that this monster in the White House had created in this free nation. This interloper, this phony, this monster, what he had done to this nation. He had created the greatest spy apparatus the world had ever seen, and he gets away with it with that sick smile of his. Hiding behind his wife and children, the nice guy Obama, and the rats in the media like Wolf Blitzer say nothing. You don't know the rage I have for them. You don't know what I would do if I had the power. You don't know what I would do if I had the power. You have no idea. And that's why I made a decision many years ago, because I have such rage against the machine that I would stay where I am. Even if I had the opportunity to inveigle my way into a government, I would not want that power because I would probably use it like a hammer on an anvil to get even with these people and what they've done to this fine country. That's how I feel about it. So I'm glad I have no power. I'm glad I am only a voice on the outside looking in. I'm one of the outraged Eddies out there. Let me tell you, I'm not that happy today, but I feel differently today about the country. I don't walk around fearing that it's all coming to an end. I don't walk around looking at little white children, to be honest with you, seeing future slaves anymore. Did you know that? Did you know that that's what I used to see? I'd walk around and look at little white children, I'd shake my head and I'd say, if this doesn't stop, these children will be slaves in their own nation. Take a look at what they're doing to the kids at the campuses. Look what they're doing to your beautiful baby when they get into college. Look what they're doing to them if they happen to have been born as Caucasian. Look at the evil communists and their indoctrination and what they do to them every day with lies about white privilege. The brainwashing is a form of psychological warfare to make them hate themselves for being themselves. That's what they've done to your children in this country. Now, the academic bureaucrats have to be purged in this nation. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. It's going to take a long time, a very long time, until the climate of the culture of this nation is finally changed. But change it must for this country to survive. It's good that Trump is appointing some great men. I'm 100% for it. That will have immediate effects where it's needed. And of course, I said before the election, if he wins, my number one priority would be national security. I said that to you over and over again. Well, that's where Trump's going. Why did he do it? Because he listened to me? No, because it's commonsensical. Obama and his Castroite minions have so denuded the military, have so implanted vermin in all the intelligence services that this country is sitting like a vulnerable infant. He's empowered our enemies. Who are our enemies? You mean Iran is our friend? Where did the $175 billion that your great man Obama gave Iran, where did that cash come from? Why has there been no accounting? Where was the money hidden? Who keeps $175 billion in cash laying around? Did they print it? Was it hidden? Is it a slush fund? Where did it come from? Why are there no answers to this question? And while you're answering that question about this great president of ours, where did he get the money to just buy three houses? We read just last week. I was shocked to find out that he bought a beautiful home in an expensive district in Washington, D.C., bought another one in his beloved Hawaii, and he bought another one, I don't remember anymore where it is. Three houses, I said? I didn't see any deals coming through. Where did the money come from that he had the money to buy these three houses, I asked. And while I'm asking that, why is Jake Tapper the phoniest man in the history of the media? He's worse than Wolf Blitzer because he pretends to be more independent than Blitzer. Tapper is the one who should be asking these questions. But he is a stooge of the left-wing evil machine that has ruined this nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Alright, it's enough already, schmaltzy, I can't take it. So I told you I'm writing the God book, and one of the things that I'm doing, it won't be out for you, I'm not selling you anything, don't turn the dial. One of the things I'm doing for my book, In Reverence of God, is I'm going through my Old Testament, which I've had for 40 years, with all the post-its in it. So I started at the beginning, and I found the section, right in the beginning of Genesis, where he talks about man and woman. In Genesis, and he writes this, he, God, you know who he is, God, it's not Obama, he, not Obama, it's not Castro, it's not Stalin, it's not Lenin, not any of your heroes, not Karl Marx, not George Soros, but he, God, wrote the Bible, and it starts with Genesis, the first book of Moses, so to speak, and in it, in chapter 2, verse 18, he says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And then it talks about how he created all of the other animals and what he would call them. He gave names to the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. And then he looks around and he says, but for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. And so the God, the great God, caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man, and the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now listen to the rest of this. Listen to it as poetry. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I could spend an entire book on that one piece of Genesis. But I don't think it takes an entire book to understand that since the beginning of recorded history, all religions have recognized that it's man and woman, that there's no need for a third sex bathroom. You have mental problems. You're not sure who you are. We're sorry for you. We're not going to hurt you. We accept you. But please don't twist our children's minds. Every culture, every religion, every people on the planet, every dog, every cat, every mouse, every bird, every pigeon, everything on earth understands that, except the people in San Francisco. So as I read a thing like that, I look further. And I was reading something this morning that really moved me. I mean, I got to tell you, this moved me a lot. I didn't even intend to do this now, but I'm so tired of everything else. And that's usually when I turn to the Rock of Ages. It's not that I believe every word. I mean, I'm not a biblical absolutist. But when you look at some of this and you realize it's been around for thousands of years. Of course, everyone is not as smart as Mark Zuckerberg. I understand that. The poor people who believed in God and the Bible all these years, they just didn't have the brains of Barack Obama and the other atheists around him. But they did the best they could. But you look at things which have metaphorical power, for example, Sodom and Gomorrah, We know what Sodom and Gomorrah is. Everybody knows what that is. Then the Lord caused rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So that, from that biblical phrase came the statement, don't look back. Remember the Bob Dylan song, movie, Don't Look Back. So I'm impressed with how much great literature is based upon biblical stories, for example, or biblical truths, if you want to put it that way. And I mean, there's a lot of madness in the Bible, too. I mean, real craziness. I mean, the part about Lot inseminating his daughters. I'm sorry, I have to pass that page. I have no comment on that. Was there a perv? It was like we had a nut named Lot. It's in there. Genesis 24, Lot inseminated his daughters, that's all. So what do you want me to do, write about that? I just don't even want to look at it. Let's say we had nuts in the biblical times, too. So God and earth tells us that in all times, there were crazy people and evil people. And one of them was Lot. So then you go on. I got to read one more. This morning I was up in the morning very early, and I found, you know, like, you know the great Steinbeck novel, East of Eden? Was it a Steinbeck book originally, East of Eden? Check on it, Robert. I believe that the original literary use of the words East of Eden came from the Bible for sure, but it's written so differently in the Bible. I don't think I could put my hand on it. I had it this morning, and it came and went like it flew out of my head like a cuckoo bird. I don't think it's in Genesis, but I found it this morning. And why is it that when I read this at dawn, I actually got I know it sounds, you know, suspiciously false. I got, like, weirdly teary reading this about the East of Eden part. I can't put my hand on it. I wish I could. And it moved me because of the power of the words of the Bible. When you think about the three great religions on earth, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, there are three religions that are originally tied by one common thread called monotheism, the belief in a single God. Forget about the Wahhabists who have infected Islam. Forget about the fact that Saudi Arabia has poisoned Islam for the moment. But if you look at the purity of Islam and you denude Islam of its hatred and you denude it of the killing and the murdering of infidels, if you can do that, and you pray to God that those they're bringing in don't practice a literal form of Islam. There's so much beauty in these religions, and they all come from the same source, which is the belief in God. I wish I could find my hand. I'll look for it during the break. I did the Sodom. I didn't do the eye for an eye, the Ten Commandments. Although this Ten Commandments one is fantastic. You know, I didn't even intend to get to any of this today, I swear to God. I don't know how I'm getting into this. Because I truly feel that I owe this to God because he gave me my life many times. I don't have to tell you how or why, but he did. And I decided my last big book will be this. This is my last will and testament. This is going to be my God book. That's it. I'm going to disappear. Do you know that every day I think about leaving my writing career, walking away from it all because of things that are being done to me behind the scenes? I can't even tell you about it. I cannot tell you what I am walking through right now. But one day you will find out what it takes to get up on the air while you're being undermined and stabbed in the back by people who live off you. One day you will find out. You will come to discover that I'm stronger than you can ever believe. And so I keep going sometimes because I look at the book and I say to myself, this is nothing compared to what people go through, and it's nothing compared to what I will go through. I mean, God always saves the best for the last in all of our lives. We all think we're going to die quietly in our sleep. But my friends, it doesn't happen that way. Never ends that way. Rarely does it end that way. That's the fiction. No matter what big shot you think you are, no matter how high you are flying today, it doesn't end for you any differently than it ended for the tens of millions of people or the billions of people who have preceded you on this earth. It's never a pleasant ending. And at the end, you can be as atheistic as you want. Who are you going to turn to? Who will you turn to at that time? So you're very much like all of the other rubes you may have put down your whole life if you're an atheist or an agnostic and you think that you can do it on your own. You can't. But this thing about East of Eden, I have to find it. I have to find the exact writing because it's so amazing. I can't put my hands on it right now. I'll find it eventually. I'll do it eventually. I wanted to read you about mother and father and then go on. I intend to do all politics today. I was going to do Trump. I was going to do Mattis as defense secretary. Trump voters, are you happy so far? Or do you have buyer's remorse? I asked you to want to call lifestyle questions, open mic on any topic. But, you know, I can't take my mind off what my mind is really on. You understand what I'm saying? My mind is only on this. So if my mind is only on this, how can I talk about anything else? I personally believe, and I'll say it the way it is, that Trump winning this election, by hook or by crook, was God. There was God's hand involved in it. Does that mean Trump is a prophet? No. But God saved America at the last minute. He saved us, as sure as I am sitting here, from this bunch of atheistic, anti-American vermin who have tried to destroy us from within. That's correct. That's exactly what happened. And you know, sometimes God chooses odd people to do his bidding. Look at the story. Look at the story of him choosing Moses. Moses, he was said, I'm choosing you. You're the chosen one to lead your people. He says, ah, come on, don't pick on me. I don't want to do this, Moses said. I can't do it, he said. I stutter. I'm not good looking. I have like a bad face. My skin is no good. But no, pick someone else. God says, that's why I'm choosing you, because you're imperfect. So if you look at that statement, and then you look within yourself, you realize that you yourself can have been chosen for things on this earth. No matter how humble you may be, you could be chosen to do something that's great. You may have already seen that. You see, the people who were chosen by God or by fate or by destiny to do wonderful things often don't even know they've been chosen to do so. And I've told you these stories before, and they resonate in me at times, and perhaps times like this. And I will tell you more of them later on. I don't want to get into it right now. But I truly believe that America is saved. I think that we're only seeing the beginning of the salvation. I believe that once the rats are forced out of the White House, once the rats are purged out of the media, and believe me, make no mistake about it, the vermin behind the rats that you see in the media, they're businessmen and businesswomen at the end of the day. They're business people. If they see that as a result of the left-wing fanaticism, their listenership has collapsed, they're going to start reaching out to people on the other side who represent the 51% of America that they've spit on for the last 10 years. They've been spitting on you. They said you're nobody, you're nothing, you don't go to the movies, you don't watch television, you don't buy books, you don't read this, you don't read that. But they found out you actually exist. And at some point, the boards of directors of these media giants are going to make certain that they talk to you with respect. And then voices like mine will be heard across the land. You will start hear voices like mine. They will start appearing on some of the most unexpected outlets you could ever imagine. And the only reason is because the rats behind the scenes are business people. And all they want is the bottom line. And they finally awakened to the fact that they were spitting on 50% of America, laughing at you, mocking you, calling you every name under the sun. The deplorables, the despicables, the rube, the breeder. But you actually are the backbone of America. And now you have a leadership. And it's only just begun. I mean, he's not even in office yet. And before he even takes office, look what the rats are doing. They're flooding America with as many people as they can who have absolutely no value whatsoever to this nation. You know, I keep hearing that immigrants are the backbone of America. I keep hearing that they do the jobs that Americans won't do. Then why is he bringing in 15-year-old girls with babies? Why is he bringing in Muslims with six children? Why is it that the immigrants have a much higher use of the welfare system than do indigenous people or the natives of this country? I mean, if you can answer those questions, you'll come to understand that virtual criminals are running the nation. And they're not just ordinary criminals who are doing this for personal gain, although there is tremendous amount of personal gain in flooding the country with immigrants. Catholic Charities, $2.5 billion last year, ripped off out of the tax base. Lutheran Family Services. These are all criminal organizations, in my opinion. What, because the word Catholic is in front of it? It couldn't be run by a bunch of thieves? Take a look at their salaries. Ask yourself, Why the hell are we spending $2 billion on Catholic charities? And what have they given us? Oh, wait a minute. I remember what they gave us. Why, that young fella the other day in Ohio, he was brought in with his five Muslim brethren from Somalia. And, oh yeah, it was Catholic Charities that put him in Columbus, Ohio. Then why hasn't Catholic Charities been sued by the victims who he ran over and knifed? The answer is because I'm not a lawyer. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Or some goon who can't speak English about what he was doing with the $30 million that was just bestowed upon him. Or some moron from a college telling you how America's horrible while collecting his tenure check. You know, they don't want to hear anything about Hallelujah, written by an old white man. When he handles Messiah, who's Handel? They want to hear about Handel's mustache. So the fact is, I just want to do this thing about, Lot. And what I was talking about. Want me to do that or not? Go back to politics. First of all, how long do you think you're going to live? The answer is the max is 120 years. That's the Bible gives you that. So even if you're Zuckerberg or Elon Musk, you're not going past 100 and something. That's number one. That's if you even get to 75. That's A. But B, if you get past 75, I don't care. See, this is the horrible thing about extreme wealth. It eats them alive more than it does the average man, because they conquer everything, but they cannot break free of the zoological order, and that drives them insane. Do you understand that? See, that should give you salvation. If you're the lowliest guy who never got anywhere in life, just think about it. You and the richest man on the planet are bound by the same thing, which is flesh, and you're all facing the same end at the end of the day. That's a good thing. So there's an equalizer in our encoding. No one's gone past a certain point. That's it. He is also a flesh, therefore shall his days be 120. That's max. Max, period. Even if you're Elon Musk or whatever.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I'm not interested in music anymore. I got to come up with new music. I mean, I have to write music now for the show, since nothing that I'm playing inspires me anymore. Welcome to the program. I'm in a weird mood, so you'll have to just bear with me. If you've lived with me for 22 years on the radio, you know I go in and out of these phases. So I'm in one of them. I'm in a trough right now. It's like the election is over. Trump won. He appointed Mattis, which is so great that I feel that he can save the world if he just stays on that path and doesn't listen to the RNC and the contractors, you know. So again, I want to say something about this. Like, so I'm reading Exodus in the Bible for this God book I'm doing. If you put the Jewish part aside for 1 minute, just listen to this. So it says, moreover, this is God speaking, says, moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. That's a beautiful statement. Able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating unjust gain. Isn't that what we want in a leader? Isn't that what we want, what we were praying for, that we'd get rid of the cretin in the White House? This corrupt man in the White House? You say, well, no, Obama's not corrupt. He didn't self-gain, did he? Really? She didn't abuse Air Force 1, 2, 3 with her trips? The mother-in-law in the White House for all these years? What'd that cost us? So that's petty compared to the other stuff. I understand that. How about the unjust gain of steering contracts to all the people in the gangster solar panel business who have provided very low wattage for very high price? How about that? How's that for corruption? Hating unjust gain. Now, do I think it's all going to end on the Trump? Absolutely not. I think it may get worse. If the RNC gets their hands on the government again, which looks like they did, they're going to roll in the gold like pigs roll in you know what. We know what the Republican machine is like. They're like pigs in mud. So we have a big, big job ahead of us. We may have an able man in the military in Mattis. But boy, do we need an able man everywhere else that you turn. I suppose that Mr. Trump worked a deal out with the RNC, saying, okay, they get to pick commerce, they get to pick this, he gets to pick defense. Maybe that's how they worked it out. He did write the book called The Art of the Deal, didn't he? And isn't everything a compromise? And isn't politics, by definition, a system where compromise is the norm rather than the exception? Of course it is. So they're trading it off. Trump is holding for himself, I think, the most important appointments. And to me, number one is military, after what we've suffered through here for these years under the sorority. One little obscure reference. Oh, I want to leave an open line for this. So I was talking about the East of Eden, how it came from the Bible, and how it became a great play. As you know, I believe George Steinbeck wrote the book East of Eden. I think he was first to use it. But you think of the other literary references that are from the Bible that wound up in great literature. For example, the winter of our discontent. That's another great phrase from the Bible that Steinbeck mined out of the Bible. You have to search for it. The winter of our discontent becomes a title. Great book. Can you name any other great works of art or literature whose titles derive from the Bible? I'd like to hear it on the Savage Nation. I think that would be fun for today. And I use this as an inspiration myself in one of my books recently. I remember I had written Abuse of Power, the Jack Hatfield novel 1. It did very well. Very well in hardcover. Very, very, very well, by the way. Although it was not reviewed in San Francisco. Very well around the world. So I wrote the next in the series, and I was searching for a great title, and I went into the Bible, and I said, you know, there's got to be some phrase there I can find. And I found it. I called it A Time for War. That came from the Bible. The third in the Jack Hatfield series, the third fiction book that I wrote, is not from the Bible, but I remember it was called Countdown to Mecca. That was from my own Bible, the Bible of my mind. But going back again, just for one other biblical thing today, because my head was there early in the morning, I can't get it out of my head right now. I was looking at East of Eden. So I was saying, well, what do you mean East of Eden? We all know, every person out there, even the most uneducated person, heard of the Garden of Eden. You take the most uneducated person you could think of, and you say the Garden of Eden, they would know what you're talking about. So everyone knows what the Garden of Eden is. The minute you say it, they get an image, right? I guess it means different things to different people. But then there is another place called East of Eden, referenced in the Bible, which is the land of Nod, N-O-D. So then you say, what do you mean Nod? That's funny, because junkies say he nodded out, right? Or you want to nod off. Where does the word nod come from? How does that refer to someone nodding off or nodding out, N-O-D? Well, Bible, Hebrew Bible, Book of Genesis says that there's a place called on the East of Eden where Cain was exiled by God after Cain had murdered his brother Abel. He's sent to this place out of the Garden of Eden to a place called Nod. And says Genesis 4:16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the East of Eden. So what does that mean, the land of Nod? Nod is the Hebrew root of the verb to wander. So, if you live in the land of Nod, that means you are a wandering person. You're basically you're a cast-off. The wandering Jew lives in Nod. And of course, the colloquial meaning of the word is Nod in English, to fall asleep, to nod off. But if you say, hey, that person's going to the land of Nod, that means they're going to sleep. Just a little stuff like that. Genesis 4:17 says that after arriving to land of Nod, Cain's wife bore him a son, Enoch, in whose name he built the first city, E-N-O-C-H. It's fascinating to me, that's all. Places named after the land of Nod. Popular culture references. John Steinbeck's famous novel, East of Eden. That's the betrayal of a brother, is one of its central themes. Or a land of sleep. Now, there's so much more to this. I would love to do this for a while, but I'm not going to do this right now. Let's go to the callers on the other topics. And the other topics are Trump voters. Are you happy so far, or do you have buyer's remorse? I am open to lifestyle questions. I'm going to put on the answer man hat, where I take any question for, I don't know, half an hour, and I apply my life wisdom to you. If it's of some value, fine, because many of you don't have an uncle in your life or a father. I've been around a while. I have some knowledge I can offer you. If it's of any value, good. If it isn't, you know, forgive me. I'll do the best I can. So make believe I'm an older brother of yours that you never had, or an uncle that you never had, and you're calling up Uncle Mike with a question about your life that you want an answer to. I don't really want to even answer a political question. I'll leave that to the others who do nothing else. Because I'm not going to do politics. What did I promise you before the election was over? What did I promise you? What did I say to this audience? I told you that after this nightmare is over, I told you 8 times, 10 times I can remember I said it, I'm not doing this for the rest of my life. It's brain-killing to talk about politics 24-7, 7 days a week, 3 hours a day. I'll go crazy. Can't do it. So I said, I will do other stuff. I have a tremendously versatile background. I'm going to bring all of my background into the show. So here I go. So pardon me for wanting to talk about something other than politics. It's not the end of the world. We won the election. We won the election. Now let's wait a little bit. Some of his appointments are fabulous. And we're just going to have to live with the ones we don't like for the ones to get the ones that we do like. It's that simple. No one promised you 100% of what you thought you were going to get. Nobody. Okay? So let me take a couple of calls. I can tell you the show is good for one reason. You know yesterday's show? Like if you were listening yesterday, I did a whole bunch of stuff on addiction, and we got into sex addiction, and that guy called from a Fisherman's Wharf. Did you remember that call? That was a famous call. I got like a lot of emails from people saying, I couldn't believe it. That was so great. The waiter from the restaurant at Fisherman's Wharf called, said he's a sex addict who had slept with 1,400 women. And he says to me, Mike, I'm blankety blank from the restaurant you used to go to. And he says, don't you remember me? I used to serve you the seafood sausage, he says. I said, wait a minute. And you slept with 1,400 women? I said, and you served me the seafood sausage? So he laughed quickly. He said, yeah, but I wore gloves. That's a funny line. I mean, that's great radio. Well, that happens spontaneously. I don't expect that to happen again today, but I'm going to replay a piece of that. How long is that, Robert, if we replay it later today? We have a short... It's too long, I think. I don't want to go into the whole thing. I don't go to that restaurant, by the way. If you're looking to find me, I'm never there. As usual, I had a falling out with the owner years ago. Actually, it wasn't the owner. It was a cousin of the owner. I never went back. I used to go there, you know, religiously, but this is the nature of the man. The nature of the man. I'm hard-headed. I don't like to be insulted. And I guess he was hard-headed, and he didn't like to be insulted. So I don't eat there anymore. It's the way the world is, right? It's as simple as that. How hard is it to figure out? That's all. Zorba doesn't go there anymore. Don't look for him on Fisherman's Wharf. Zorba does not eat there anymore. Zorba doesn't eat anywhere anymore. Maybe I'll go to North Beach once in a while. I go to Pinocchio Giovanni's restaurant. That's about it. I like him. Him I would never argue with. I'm afraid of him. I'm joking. No. No, he's laughing probably. But, I don't go out that much. I try to stay local, stay close to the home. We're getting a cold wave coming in here in California now. It's cold every night, which I love, Northern California. All year long, I look forward to the cold, being from the East Coast. The heat is like a death zone for me. I feel like I'm wandering in the desert in the summer. I can't take the heat. I never liked the heat. Even as a kid, it was like, exhausts me. You know, it's sad. I have a house in Florida. I don't go there. I get killed in Florida. I cannot walk around in that heat. The last I was there was a year ago. I have a beautiful home. I don't go to it. I love Florida, but I can't take the climate. I guess I'm made for Northern California. I love it here in the winter when it's bitter and cold and damp. Go figure. It's just my nature. And if I want snow, I go up to the Sierra. I can drive to the snow instead of having to, like, you know, walk in the slush with galoshes to the Q44A to the high school, which I remember to this day, to go study the geometry, which I almost died doing. And then algebra. Oh, did I not like high school? You know, it's funny. I look back on my years in school, and I have an awful lot of them. You know, the lower the grade, the worse it was for me. It's a funny thing. I'm thinking about it. It's like a reverse thing. If I look back, the first grade was the worst. And as it progressed, it got better. I only became content in school when I went to graduate school. It was only when I got into seminars where it was one professor and maybe three students that I felt comfortable. And my most favorite class in all was when I was lucky enough to have a single professor in a single graduate seminar, which I remember to this day. He was a great professor from Harvard in anthropology, and he was a very, very wonderful teacher because he didn't try to trick you. He just did simple things, like he said, here, read Claude Lévi-Strauss in the original French, and we'll talk in French about his anthropological theories. I said, okay, that's an easy one. But that was the whole seminar for 6 weeks. Let me tell you something. I'm not fluent in French to these days. All I remember is it's a réparation sample. That's all I remember from my high school dialogues. But the fact is, that was a joke from the other day, by the way, which I thought was funny. Remember we played that, Robert? I bet you still have that dialogue woman, the monologue woman. I don't remember French. Oh, talking about the French, we have good news for those of you who know about France. Did you see what happened? The worst prime minister in the history of France's entire history, going back to cave times, is not running for office again because he's the most unpopular president in their history. Who is it? The socialist, Mr. Hollande. Mr. Hollande, who has flooded France with Muslims. Mr. Hollande, who has permitted one terrorist attack after another to occur because his cousin, Barack Obama, taught him how to do the job right. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, his cousin here in America taught him how to do the job right. The most unpopular president in France's history is stepping down. He won't even rerun. The Socialist Party is in ruins. Unfortunately, France is in ruins as well. And so, you know, you come back here and you say, well, what does it have to do with us? You got to understand something. Obama is the most unpopular president in the history of the country. If, now listen to me, if you were to do the survey amongst taxpayers, you would find he's the most unpopular president in history. Forget about the surveys that question, quote, voters or question respondents or question a large pool of people which include immigrants, illegal immigrants, people who pay no taxes. Of course you can skew a poll by who you ask the question of. But if you were to actually ask taxpayers above a certain income level, let's say they pay more than a dollar in income tax, I will tell you that Obama the socialist is no higher in popularity than Mr. Hollande is in France. And I stick by that statement.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Listen, I have a slight correction. His name is not Elon Musk. I was speaking rapidly. It's Elon Musk. I just did speed talking. And there was no disrespect intended to Mr. Musk. I called him Elon Musk. I meant Elon Musk. It's like a hard name. It's like that other guy, Munchin. Munchin. It's going to be a tough one. Yes, Mr. Munchin. I know, look, there are ethnic things attached to names, and it's hard for all of us to adjust to them. That's why I have a dog. In this sense, for 11, 12, 13 years, I've been with Teddy, you know? Consistent relationship. I don't have to pronounce his name too often. His name is Teddy or Ted or hello. Hello there. You want to go out? You want to not go out? You want to eat? You want to not eat? You want a piece of roast beef today or turkey? What would you like? You know, he's the most consistently loyal friend that I've ever had. I mean, there are people. People are fine when you have friends, but it's only up to a point. Everyone's going to disappoint you. You know that. It's not their fault. It's the fault of the apple. Am I wrong about that? Isn't it true that everyone disappoints everyone at some point in their life? Maybe consistently disappoints you, or you disappoint them. It's really not your fault. It's the fault of the apple. It's how we're designed. And that's why we turn to, you know, like we become buggy, a bird, a dog. You see what's on airplanes now with the service animals, what people are abusing it with? A goat, a this, a that, a dog. I never saw anything like this. It's like the Noah's Ark now when you fly in American Airlines. Let me ask you something. Let's say you have a dog that's a service dog, and you have a cat that's a service cat. Well, what about the person next to you who may have an allergy to a dog or a cat? They don't count either? I don't know how anyone runs an airline anymore. A service goat, Some people bring a service pig on a plane just to, you know, some people do it to abuse. Or like they abuse the handicap thing. Have you ever seen that one? Them line up 17 wheelchairs before the plane takes off. I don't say that there aren't people who really need them, but it's odd to me because I've watched it on Southwest over and over again. When the plane lands, like Zippy, bingo, they're out of the wheelchair. They push everyone out of the way. They're off the plane before you are. All of a sudden, they got spry. How'd that happen? What, they get cured in the air?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282-SAVAGE.
Talk, and they can't listen and talk. There's no double. It doesn't work in AM radio. I've tried to listen myself. I don't know what I'm saying. I listen on a replay. I can't hear me. But the point is that the song came directly from Genesis, from the Bible, I believe. Turn, 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 right? Oh, Ecclesiastes, sorry. It was interesting when I first stumbled upon that, how it says the time to kill. It was interesting, very interesting. That was sort of missed in the hippie era. They all thought it was like blowing bubbles and sleeping with your old lady and stealing your money, saying, let's all share, man. But no, it was about life itself, all of that stuff. Time to live, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pick up. It's not supposed to be all about happiness and peace. It'd be nice if it was. It's just not the way the world is, going back to the cave times. But you know all of this. Why do I have to tell you that? Let's go to Carl, the psychologist, on KBET Radio, Line 8. Go ahead, Carl. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Dr. Savage. I called you a couple of months ago before the election, and you were sort of diagnosing Hillary Clinton. You said she had a pathological liar and had some paranoid tendencies. Anyway, I called you and I said, I want to congratulate you on your diagnosis, if it's quite close, except for one little mistake. I said, you described Mr. Trump to a T, and you've got a kick out of it, because I changed the whole thing around. But that's not what I want to call you about.
I remember, and I said, okay, yeah. Right, I understand. You could turn it around on anyone, right?
I've been an agnostic most of my adult life. Most people in the scientific business and so forth, you are, because things have to be proven to them. Anyway, I was agnostic for most of my adult life. I bought a new car about a year ago, and I was leaving my office in complex late, and I wasn't sure how the gear shift worked. I opened the door, and my wallet dropped down on the ground. I put my foot out. And I thought I had it in park. It was in reverse, and it backed up over my legs. And it was a big SUV, and I'm trying to hold the wheel and hold the tire from running over my legs. It would have broken my legs probably. And I heard my mother's voice, who died like 10 years before that, saying, it's going to be all right. Hold on. It'll be all right. And the guards for the lot left earlier. There was no guards or anybody on the lot. And all of a sudden, a man walked up. He was a guard who was late. And he said, oh, I see you. And he got out of the car and moved off with me. And since that time, I've had a different feeling about the whole thing.
Well, what's that feeling that you have, though? You can say it, Doc.
Well, I feel that I'm less agnostic than I was. I feel that, why would I hear my mother's voice?
Well, the day you become less diagnostic is the day you'll be cured.
Yeah, to that point. But, I mean, I was always completely 100% agnostic.
I'm joking. Look, so you're saying you're less agnostic because you think there must be a higher power, right?
I'm getting that feeling now.
I can't speak to the next man. Everyone has it come to them at a certain time. They walk around as though there is nothing else other than them, and they're in charge of their own life, and then something happens, like happened to you, and they say, wait a minute, there must be something else going on out there, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, too many things happen. I was able to hold back this heavy car, which I would never be able to do, by holding out the tire, holding it back, and then this guard, who was supposed to have left an hour before, was late.
Well, I think we all have such stories in our life. I'll give you some that are not from my own life because it would sound self-serving, which I certainly do enough of. I'll tell my own stories at another time. I remember I had an uncle, a distant uncle, World War II. And the stories would come back from the battlefield when I was a very little boy. But, you know, some little kids listen to everything. Let's say his name was Manny. Manny was in a foxhole in the Battle of the Bulge. Shells are flying, 88 millimeters, people are screaming and dying, and he hears his mother scream out to him, get out of the foxhole, get out of the foxhole. So his friends say, where are you going? Where are you going? He jumps out, runs away, shell hits the foxhole, kills everybody in it but him. Now, that's not the only story like that. You could say it's pure chance. But where did his mother's voice come from telling him to get out of the foxhole?
Yeah. But the bigger
question is, why did the other boys' mothers... voices not tell them to get out? See, this is the problem with those stories. There's another famous story in my family of yet another uncle. Again, World War II. They tell me it was a true story. His mother gave him a Bible before he went into war. A small pocket Bible he carried around in his breast pocket. You know the rest of that story. Shrapnel or bullet hit him, didn't kill him. Trapped, caught in the Bible. I mean, I've heard these stories over and over again, but you say in a war where there are millions of chance occurrences, you could say anything is possible, so you can ascribe it to anything you want. I can take the cynical approach as well.
Well, okay. I'm going to leave.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a pet, a dog, cat?
Cat.
You like the cat better than a dog? I'm a dog person.
No, my wife likes the cat. I don't like cats.
I'm allergic to cats, and I think that they're sneaky. I like dogs because they're overt. Everything a dog does is out front. You know, they sleep on their back. They show you the whole thing. It's like it's embarrassing with a dog. Nothing is covert about a dog. They're like stupid. That's why we call them dogs, why we love them. It's like having a hobo in the house or a bum or a hippie. They remind us of what it's like to not work for a living, not pay your own way. They're a born Democrat. I'm surprised that Hillary didn't go and ask for the cats and dogs to vote for her. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me. No, she included cats and dogs. In the election, she definitely won by a landmine. No question about that. Next call. Bingo. Who's up next? It's open mic to mic. Blah, blah, blah. KSFO, Dan, line 3. What's on your mind, Dan? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I see a beautiful parallel, Michael, between your 22 years in radio and your upcoming God book and the Bible. You know, for 22 years, you were like the Old Testament prophet warning the people about the dangers of liberalism that culminated in scorched earth. As we started to enter a new dispensation, that's about the time you saw Hacksaw Ridge and the hero Desmond Doss, and you saw that the Rock of Ages in his heart made him a courageous man. And I think as you then led things along into this Trump era, you were kind of like John the Baptist, who said, he must become greater, I must become less. And you brought Trump on your show. You were really helping people to see his policies of freedom. The media, of course, crucified him. They counted him dead, but he rose on November 8th. And it's interesting today that you had a friend who said it's like we've entered through a portal into a new world. And it reminded me, Michael, of the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the children went through the wardrobe. And like the agnostic you just had on the program, he seems to be approaching the wardrobe. And you have led this now, I think, and God has used you. But now that we're in this era, I kind of see, Michael, that your role now almost is more like a New Testament pastor than an Old Testament prophet, in the sense that what do you do when, you know, the folks are out of Egypt, when we've been delivered from liberalism? And I love it when you talk about, like, Cincinnati last night and Mad Dog and, you know, we got Tom Price and HHS now, a lot of positive things that you're building the people up. And I think just as you were a tremendous prophet, Michael, I think you're going to be a great encourager of your listeners. And it'll be very interesting to see your God book, Michael, because I think this whole thing could culminate. I think the movie Hacksaw Ridge and Rock of Ages holds a key here going forward, but I know that God has used you in a powerful way, and I think there's just a beautiful parallel here, and I really got to commend you, Michael, because in a lot of ways, you must have had PTSD after 22 years on the front lines, but now as you've started to kind of move into this chaplain pastoral role, I think it took you a few days to come out of that. I think it took you a few days to put the gun down and realize, hey, you know, we won, we don't need to keep shooting, you know, this is an imperfect political leader. But, you know, he's not the King of Kings, but, you know, God's going to use him to help bring freedom to our country. So we thank you, Michael, for the way you've been used. And I just see this beautiful parallel going on. And it's amazing how God puts all these things in your life, like Hacksaw Ridge and all of this. And it just matches so much of the Bible. I can't wait to read your new book, The God Book.
Wow. I got to say, I got to applaud you. You are loquacious, my listener friend. In fact, I'm going to ask my good friend Doug in Oregon to capture that on an MP3 so I can listen to it again. And I got to tell you, are you in the religious business, Dan?
Yeah, I've been a pastor for 26 years. I've been a pastor for 10 years at Wellspring Church here in Papillion, Nebraska. And so, you know, I've had the pleasure, Michael, of
serving. Oh, that's amazing. What you just said, your flock must love you.
Well, we're blessed. My wife and I, we've married 26 years. We're blessed with a wonderful congregation here. And, you know, but I got to tell you, Michael, there are few people in any aspects of society today that tell it with the sincerity and the truth that you do. And so I just so appreciate your work. And like I said, I see so much of a comparison in the spiritual realm to what's going on. And so I appreciate that.
Wow. All I can say is I'm thankful that you called, because what you said sort of summarizes a lot of things in my life and where I have been and where I'm going and where I'm at. And I think that, like all men, I'm always asking myself what's ahead and where should I go. And I don't have an answer to that distinctly right now. I'll be honest with you. I feel that I've done my job. Some mornings I wake up and I feel like a salmon who has swum upstream and there's nothing left to do. And I feel that I have done the biggest thing I could possibly do in my life, and there's nothing left to do. I must tell you that. And it's not like I get scared. It's like, oh, now I'm going to die on the spot. I don't have that childish view of things. But I do feel that spiritually, politically, I feel that I've done all I can possibly do. There's nowhere to go now. What else is there to do? Tell me what else is there for me to do.
Well, I tell you, Michael, here's what you do, my brother, and that is you're like the disciples after Christ was crucified. You're confused, you're dazed, you had no idea that was coming. But when Pentecost came and that power came, the same power that filled Desmond Doss and Hacksaw Ridge, that's going to be the power that's going to equip you to then shepherd your flock of listeners forward. Because, of course, who would know what to do in your situation? You've been an Old Testament prophet, you know, for 22 years. How do you go from being a prophet where you're you know, denouncing the dangers of liberalism and all of the plagues that that brings, to now all of a sudden having a flock of people who've been delivered out of Egypt and now have got, you know, all of this stuff they want to celebrate? And so I have no doubt, Mike, you're going to make that transition. And, you know, I would be honored any time to, you know, just visit with you on the phone. And I certainly don't have all the...
That's beautiful. I got to tell you, that's a beautiful call and a wonderful offering. And, Robert, please get the gentleman's email and phone number. We will talk again. I will tell you why. Well, there's a number of reasons why. Number one, I told you that I also have an astrologer friend. Remember I told you about it after L.A.? He visited me in my home. Did I tell you? Did you hear that on the radio?
Absolutely heard that. In fact, I thought it was interesting that you saw him over Thanksgiving, because I kind of tied in a little bit, Michael. I couldn't figure out, you know, why you were getting so upset about the Priebus and all that stuff. But again, I think you had PTSD. I think it was hard for you to come out of that. So I did hear...
No, it was not PTSD. It was RNC PD. I mean, whatever. It was RNCPD, because I've been through that before. I've seen them screw the American people before. I saw what McConnell has done. I saw what Boehner has done to us. No, there was no PTSD. It was RNCSD, because they have done it to us before, and I don't want them to be allowed to do it again. And if I have to be, again, the only one out there willing to stand up and take the chance of having the Donald Trump camp reject me, cast me out into Lod from Eden, I have to live with that. So if I'm going to live in Nod, I'll live in Nod. I've lived here my whole life. I'll stay here. I didn't expect to be invited into the Garden of Eden for supporting Donald Trump. And if I'm cast out because I dare criticize Rince Priebus and the RNC, so be it. I've wandered in the desert. I'll continue to wander in the desert. It's that simple. I mean, I don't want them to do it to us again and think that they can get away with it and we're not going to do anything. There are millions of us who will do something. And that's what I want everyone to understand. Our battle is just beginning right now. Thank God he appointed Mattis. I love that he took Mattis out of retirement and he's going to really scare hell out of you-know-who. And that the liberals are going to run like rats off a ship out of the military. Maybe he'll reappoint all the people in military who Obama purged in his Stalinist way. Yeah, no, so there's very good things out there. But I'm afraid of what Mr. Priebus represents, because I've seen them in action before. I don't think that's a matter of PTSD, do you?
Paul, may I say that, like the Apostle Paul, who of course ministered in the New Testament, he wasn't afraid to call a spade, so I hear exactly what you're saying. It wasn't just all, you know, talking about, you know, niceties and roses in the New Testament. If something had to be dealt with, you know, the former Jew, Saul, from Tarsus, he was not afraid. So, again, I commend you for that spirit of boldness that you're maintaining as you now start to shepherd the flock in this new dispensation.
What's the worst that's going to happen? Let me ask you something. What did I expect for having backed Trump? I didn't expect anything. I didn't want a job. I don't want a job. I can't work in a bureaucracy. I'm not moving anywhere. This is what I'm meant to do, which is broadcast and to write books. So the umbrella that I bought will be auctioned off on eBay one day. It will not go to the inauguration. I'll auction it off and give the money away to a charity to do with veterans. It'll probably bring in a lot of money. The umbrella that was supposed to go to the inauguration with Michael Savage is now up for auction. I'll do that. What else am I missing? Maybe one day, perhaps Donald Trump would have seen it upon himself to take my name off the list in England when he, you know, gets his feet solidly on the earth and he talks to them and says, look, to Theresa May, this guy never belonged to be banished from England. I want that taken away and I want him to be given a letter of apology from the British government. That would have been nice, but it's not going to happen. Those are about the only things I thought would be of any interest to me, to be honest with you. The rest, I'm not looking for anything. I'm not jockeying for a job. Listen, you are a great caller. I'm sending you Teddy and me to enjoy with anyone you want in the congregation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Look, the hours have flown by, and this is always the mark of a good program to me. I've noticed over the years that when a show flies by for I, the host, it means you probably have enjoyed it to a certain extent, maybe more so than most. When I, the host, feel like I'm dragging and it's exhausting and what the heck I can't do, then I know you didn't enjoy the show, because there's a primary rule in radio, which is that if you're enjoying yourself, the audience will enjoy themselves. It's just the nature of the medium. 2 hours. Look where we are already. I cannot believe it. I have another hour coming up. I'll try to do more of the news and some of the sound I collected for you. But I haven't gotten to it. Why? Because we're doing other stuff. And we talked about Mattis as defense secretary. Great pick. Fabulous. We only hope Mr. Trump brings back all the others purged by the Stalin of our time, and that would be Barack Obama. I've asked Trump voters, are you happy so far, or do you have buyer's remorse? I gave you titles of famous books from the Bible, or asked you to call on that. We're through with that one. And, of course, we'll go on with an open mic, any question or comment in the hour that follows. Be sure to pick up Teddy and Me and or Scorched Earth. What incredible gifts they are.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So I learned in the last hour, speaking with a preacher who called me, that I'm suffering RNCSD. He said, having elected Donald Trump, worked so hard as you did, you probably have PTSD. I said, no, I have RNCSD. Which is Republican National Committee Stress Disorder, because I've been through them before. I know who Rince Priebus is. I know who Boehner is. I know who McConnell is. I know who they are. These are not good people. These are the people who shafted the average voter before. So why should I not have stress disorder, seeing when that they've taken the reins of a good portion of the Trump campaign? That's what's bothering me. That's one of the things that is seriously bothering me. And I have to retain my independence and tell you that when I think they go off the rails in the wrong direction, I have to be able to say it, which I've done. I put myself out there 3 weeks ago. I wrote the article. Actually, WND wrote the article. I took a big chance. I was asked, are you sure you want to publish this? Are you sure you want this on WorldNet Daily? Well, it went up on the Drudge Report for 18 hours. They got like 2 million hits on that article. And as a result, I'm pretty much cast out from the Garden of Eden. And I know that. I took the chance, I paid the price, and here I am. So the thing is, we have to retain the right. We must preserve the right to criticize the man we put in office. But we also must be open-minded to praise him for great appointments such as those we are now seeing. I love Mr. Mattis. General Mattis is a great man. He was purged by Stalin Obama. The Stalin in the White House has denuded our military of great men like Mattis, and I hope that Trump brings them all back. He can find every one of their names listed in Stop the Coming Civil War and Scorched Earth. I know every general who was purged. Virtually every general was named. I studied this in great detail. I wonder if the Pentagon even remembers who the men are, the real men, as opposed to the Potemkin warriors that he put in there. Okay? Then we talked about, you know, maybe stuff that alienates the average radio listener out there, which is spiritual stuff, the Bible. Does it have any meaning? Do you believe in God? How do you know God exists? And I read from the Bible, and I told you some of the literary references that have become popular came directly from the Bible. Phrases such as Steinbeck's great novel, East of Eden, for example. Then there was the great book, The Winter of Our Discontent, again derived from the Bible by, again, Steinbeck. But if you go into Shakespeare, many of Shakespeare's greatest lines come from the Bible as well. Shakespeare was probably a religious man. There are stories that he was, in fact, okay? And we talked about other stories, and we played one of the great songs of the hippie era, which was Turn, 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 right out of Ecclesiastes, a time for everything, a time to live, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to love, a time to hate, a time to this, a time to this, a time to that, a time to this. So it's not all one way, as the PC parade would tell you. There is a time to kill also, and that's what Mattis does best, and he will kill them. He will kill every last one of them. They are running like rats off a burning ship right now. They're begging. Did you know what's going on in Mosul? You haven't heard any of it because the propaganda corps of Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer and the other little boys who work for Barack Obama. The propaganda corps has not reported what's going on over there in the Middle East. After all these years of horrendous bloodshed in Syria, because the hated Putin, because of the evil Russia, because of the air force of the evil Putin, the rats are now running out of that city. And they're so frightened, all these brave men who raped 8-year-old girls, burned men alive, chopped their heads off on beaches. All these brave Allah worshippers are now begging Russia not to kill them. They're trying to broker a peace deal with Russia now that they're not going to be able to rape 7-year-old girls anymore. And guess who they're brokering the deal with? No, not Barry. None of Barry's girls are being included in this. No, none of the great schmucks who run this government are even involved in the peace negotiations between the so-called rebels, who we funded, by the way, and Russia and the Iraqi army. Do you know who's brokering the deal? Turkey. Just shows you how impotent this phony is in the White House. And speaking of the phony in the White House who destroyed America and the world as best he could, he didn't have enough time. I mean, he didn't have as much time as Castro to get it all done. He did a number of very good things so far for George Soros. We read today that Mr. Stalin himself, that's Obama to you, is considering past post-presidential digital media career. That's right. He wants to build his own media company. We don't exactly know how it's going to be. He may stream a show on Netflix. He may do a web series on a comedy site. But we do know this. Mr. Obama, the great man of our time, met privately with Facebook CEO and co-founder Mark Zuckerberg in Lima, Peru, on the sidelines of the recent APEC summit to discuss the matter. Now, I can make a comedic statement about Zuckerberg, but it's pointless because the name Zuckerberg itself has become a comedy line. Why does this man continue to wear undershirts is the number one question I have in my mind. I understand he's wild and crazy and he went to Harvard and made billions of dollars. Can he not get a jacket and a tie? Can he possibly put a shirt on? Can he stop showing us that ugly undershirt already? I'm so sick of Zuckerberg and his little clones with their undershirts, I don't know what to tell you. If I say one more moron in San Francisco walking around with a Zuckerberg clone-like look, I don't know what I'm... There used to be a thing called Castro clones here. That was bad enough. We had to live through that in the 70s. Now it's Zuckerberg clones. Everywhere you turn, morons walking around with the weightlifter body. You know they're all weaklings inside. The more they puff up their chest from working out in the gym, you know you can blow them over with a straw in the wind. Anyway, put that aside. Why are they wearing undershirts after they're so rich? What are they trying to show? If Obama suddenly appears in an undershirt, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's next in this crazy world. But anyway, so Obama wants to be a media a giant after he comes out of the presidency. That's amazing. Maybe he'll launch an Obama TV network or on cable. We don't know what he might do. Wouldn't that be terrific? We know that Obama has made a point of using social media and that he's engaged with digital outlets in many creative ways, including producing his own short-form web videos, which gets posted directly to Obama's social media accounts. How brilliant it is. All you got to do is get Stalin's speeches and put it on, put a little smiley face on it, or dust off Castro's great speeches, boil them down, and bingo, you have a media career, Mr. Obama. It shouldn't be too hard. Now what? What do you want to talk about now? WFNC in North Carolina, Tom, line 4, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, I am a lifelong liberal, and yes, listening to your show since the election, trying to figure out what the hell happened, and I have to tell you, the first thing to tell you is that I really like you. I like the sincerity I hear in your voice. I like, as you said a couple, a week ago, the metronome that you have. I can tell you're an honest person and you're a deep thinker, and I respect all of that. I don't know what the hell happened in this election. I don't understand.
All right, well, okay, at least you're willing to listen to the other side. Irrespective of the popular versus the electoral college vote, you do know there's a giant army of people who are discontent with the socialism of Barack Obama and his failed policies. And so the fact of the matter is, at least you're willing to listen to the other side now, and I think it's going to take a while for you to even accept some of the things that we think. That's what it comes down to. I will help you think it, because I'm sending you a copy of my latest bestseller called Scorched Earth, and I welcome new listeners. We all live off new listeners. We love it. It's like new customers in a restaurant. Everybody wants a new customer. But you're going to hear more of this than you can imagine. I, again, go back to people that I, let's say, turn to for trusted predictions or advice, and several of them have told me the same thing. They told me that in the year 2017, you don't have to even go looking for what's coming. It's coming to you. And that mainstream media is going to be turning to Michael Savage for the other side of America, the side that they have ignored so long, the side that they pretended didn't exist, the side that just elected Donald Trump and his entire administration. So from a business point of view alone, they're going to want to speak to the audience that you have, and they're going to turn to you. I know exactly what it's going to be, actually. I've envisioned it. I see it. I don't want to put it out on the air because someone will try to rip the category off. But the fact is that I would be interested in major media in addition to radio, but only on an extremely, extremely limited basis, because I don't have the desire to make a fool of myself on a daily basis, as most people in the media do. I mean, you take a look today at what happened with CNN. You know, it's enough to make you really angry. You see a woman with no talent. You see a woman who was appointed strictly for reasons that you can pretty much figure out. She's getting ready to go on the air on CNN, and they joke about Trump's plane crashing, and they laugh about it. This is who they really are. This is what we have been putting up with all of these years. If there was a legitimacy in CNN, which there is not, the woman would have been fired immediately, or her producer would have been fired immediately, or there would have been some sort of result for having said a thing like that. But they wanted this plane to crash a long time ago, so why is it considered something unusual to actually hear them say it off mic, right? That opens up a line at 855-407-282. This is Michael Savage, author of Teddy and Me, and guess what else? Scorched Earth. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I wonder.
Oh, no. Turn it off. I don't want to hear. I'm not in the mood for rock and roll at all. Thank you. Not old rock and roll. I'm not in it. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So today is December 2nd, as you know. It's 2016, as you know. It's about 23 minutes after the hour, as you know. And Donald Trump has announced a Trump advisory panel on jobs. And take a guess who's on it. On it includes men such as Blackstone Group LP Chief Executive Officer Stephen A. Schwarzman. He's going to advise on jobs. Other prominent U.S. business leaders will advise President-elect Trump on economic matters, and they include some reasonably important people, such as General Motors Company Chairman and CEO Mary Barra. I really don't know if she's done anything for GM, but she is the CEO. Cleveland Clinic CEO Toby Cosgrove. I suppose they know about medical costs and medical care. This is a surprise to me. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan, Chase & Company. His track record is abysmal. It's horrible. BlackRock Inc.'s Larry Fink. Here's a real weird one. Bob Iger of Walt Disney. The last I checked, the Walt Disney Company was about the most left-wing media company in the world. Walmart Stores Inc. President and CEO Doug McMillon. And former Boeing Company Chairman James McErney. All right, fine. So it's a mixture. The forum brings together CEOs and business leaders who know what it takes to create jobs and drive economic growth. In some cases, that is true. However, if you run a hedge fund, I do not think that that is a very, very good idea to restart an economy, because people in the hedge fund business are not known for their business acumen. They're known for their betting acumen. Write that down. People in hedge funds do not build businesses. They build profit, and they build profit by betting on stocks and by selling and buying stocks. They don't build anything. So far as I know, this is not a good choice. But nevertheless, that's his decision, not mine. Other panel members for Mr. Trump's advisory committee include former General Electric Chairman and CEO Jack Welch. Adebayo Ogunlesi, Chairman and Managing Partner of Global Infrastructure Partners. I don't know what that is, sorry. And the Chairman and President and CEO of International Business Machines Corp., IBM. That would be Ginni Rometty. I'm sure that IBM knows something about business, although even that sounds questionable to me. In this age, is IBM still doing well? It's not 1965. I mean, the last I checked, IBM was a hot stock when I was in high school. But who knows? I mean, maybe they know something about building business that I haven't read anywhere. But that's the list. Chair Schwarzman to chair Trump advisory panel on jobs with Jeffrey Dimon. Diamond. That's like Munster Diamond. It's hard to pronounce the name, Jamie Dimon. I think there was a huge loss at J.P. Morgan, if I'm not mistaken, and huge problems with J.P. Morgan Chase. Well, I don't know. I mean, look, they're all friends from New York. Let's be clear. This is an in crowd, you know, from the black tie charity circuit, a place I've never been and would never go to. I am so uncomfortable in that world. You have the Kennedy Center. Why would I want to go to the Kennedy Center? For what reason? To have a black tie dinner with people who wear black ties at dinners and give a lot of money away? You go to those things if you want. You rub shoulders with those people if you're looking to do a deal with them. If you're looking to sell or buy something, you go to dinners with them. And I'm not in that business where I need anything from them. Now, of course, if I wake up tomorrow and they bought the company that has the stations, I would say I was wrong in saying that. That could happen the next day. Then I'll take everything back. You don't know what could come tomorrow. They could buy the whole company. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Your money is moved around so rapidly by hedge funds, you don't know what they're going to own tomorrow. So, having said that, who knows what this is going to do? Will it produce jobs? I mean, even the carrier thing, which is a great thing in some ways, everyone's criticizing. You know, keep 1,000 jobs. The critics are saying, but at what cost? You can say that Trump kept 1,000 U.S. jobs. That's a good thing. How can you argue with that? Only a crank like Bernie Sanders would say it's a bad thing. A crank like Bernie Sanders, the ruffled up street communist, only he would put it down. Why? Here's a man who never created a job in his entire life. Bernie Sanders doesn't even know what a job is like. He never heard of a job. He doesn't know what it is. He heard that there are people. He heard there are factories. He heard there are products. But he's never actually seen them. He never saw a worker. He never saw a product. He was never in a factory. His wife is an academic who sued the university for tenure. So how could he criticize a new president who saves 1,000 jobs like it doesn't matter? Certainly matters to the 1,000 people whose jobs are safe in Indiana. Wouldn't you say that, whatever your name is? Mr. Rumpelstiltskin? Carrier's parent, United Technologies, has a strong incentive to keep good relations with Trump given that a portion of its estimated $57 billion revenue will come through U.S. military contracts at its Pratt & Whitney and UTC Aerospace Systems unit. That's good. Maybe they can build all of the military parts here in America instead of outsourcing them to Brazil. That would be even be better, don't you think?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
None of this means anything. The world has changed. It's a new world. It's a new world order. First of all, we won the election. I don't live every day now fearing that the NSA is spying on me or that the FBI is going to throw a black bag over my head and take me away one night. Do you know that I actually lived in that fear under the regime of Obama? And they're not gone yet. These fascists who are disguised as good liberal progressives are still in power. And they still frighten me, by the way. Every last one of them belonged in the ex-Soviet Union. And they're not going anywhere. That's my fear. I remember when Trump won that night. The next day I woke up, I looked at the sky. The sky looked as though it had opened up. The sky looked clear. It looked. A friend of mine said, it's as though a portal to another world had opened up for all of us. We were no longer living in this closed world that this monster in the White House had created in this free nation. This interloper, this phony, this monster, what he had done to this nation. He had created the greatest spy apparatus the world had ever seen, and he gets away with it with that sick smile of his. Hiding behind his wife and children, the nice guy Obama, and the rats in the media like Wolf Blitzer say nothing. You don't know the rage I have for them. You don't know what I would do if I had the power. You don't know what I would do if I had the power. You have no idea. And that's why I made a decision many years ago, because I have such rage against the machine that I would stay where I am. Even if I had the opportunity to inveigle my way into a government, I would not want that power because I would probably use it like a hammer on an anvil to get even with these people and what they've done to this fine country. That's how I feel about it. So I'm glad I have no power. I'm glad I am only a voice on the outside looking in. I'm one of the outraged Eddies out there. Let me tell you, I'm not that happy today, but I feel differently today about the country. I don't walk around fearing that it's all coming to an end. I don't walk around looking at little white children, to be honest with you, seeing future slaves anymore. Did you know that? Did you know that that's what I used to see? I'd walk around and look at little white children, I'd shake my head and I'd say, if this doesn't stop, these children will be slaves in their own nation. Take a look at what they're doing to the kids at the campuses. Look what they're doing to your beautiful baby when they get into college. Look what they're doing to them if they happen to have been born as Caucasian. Look at the evil communists and their indoctrination and what they do to them every day with lies about white privilege. The brainwashing is a form of psychological warfare to make them hate themselves for being themselves. That's what they've done to your children in this country. Now, the academic bureaucrats have to be purged in this nation. Yeah, that's right, you heard me. It's going to take a long time, a very long time, until the climate of the culture of this nation is finally changed. But change it must for this country to survive. But the fact of the matter is, I wrote about Mattis a couple of years ago. It was in October of 2014 that I published a book entitled Stop the Coming Civil War. I was raising the red flags about Obama. How he had purged more than 200 U.S. military officers at the rank of colonel or higher since he became president. In 2009, he had fired over 200 U.S. military officers, replacing them with useless puppets. And one of those fired by this communist president of ours, this Castroite, was General James Mattis. Who is James Mattis? First of all, he's a great Marine. He's the former head of CENTCOM. In January 2013, Castro's cousin, Fidel Obama, dismissed Mattis, the general, for being too much of a hawk, especially when it came to the administration's lenient policy toward Iran. The fact of the matter is, Mattis understood how dangerous a nuclear-armed Iran would be to our allies and to U.S. interests in the Middle East, and he was not afraid to speak out. Mattis, who once famously said, quote, and I can't say the whole sentence here, it's on page 61 of the book, he said, there are some AHs in the world who just need to be shot. And he was known among his peers as someone who could defend the military in its ongoing dialogue with government functionaries. Both soldiers and civilians respected the general, and he wasn't about to kowtow to anyone. He was exactly the type of commander that Obama both shrinks from and does all he can to remove. Why do you think Obama removed Mattis? You have an idea why he threw him out? The general had received a note from one of his own aides telling him he was being replaced as the head of Central Command. Not one of the low-life weakling stooges from the Pentagon or the communist White House was gracious enough to inform him about this. I can relate to that. That's what they do to Big Ben. I've seen it happen in my own life just recently. They're afraid of men like us. And so the sneaks in the night have underlings do it for them. But then eventually the men like me come back to the surface, and the underlings run like the cockroaches they are when the light is shown upon their behavior. Others fired were two of our top nuclear commanders, Major General Michael Carey, Vice Admiral Tim Giardina. Both left the armed forces within days of each other, both because of personal misconduct, according to reports and emails leaked to the press. They were not even given a trial. The girls around Obama, the girls he put uniforms on, the fake tin warriors that Obama put into the Pentagon did this to them. The official report on General Carey's dismissal says this. They said that while on temporary assignment in Moscow, the general went on a vodka-drinking binge one night, and he needed assistance standing at one point. Can you believe this? And he had tried to get up on stage with a Beatles cover band in a Mexican restaurant in Moscow. And that was the reason to fire a combat general? Yes, if you're one of the cowards in a uniform who really belongs as an usher in a movie theater. Do you know who this man was? And do you know why he was really fired? I have it all for you on the Savage Nation, because maybe we have hope to restore our military after this communist regime is finally thrown out of office. Do you know who this man was, General Michael Carey? The man who was thrown out for drinking vodka and dancing on a stage? At the time he was fired by the girls in the band, he was commander of the 20th Air Force, responsible for all 450 of the Air Force's Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missiles located in five U.S. states. You know who else he is? Prior to that, General Carey actually served in both the Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom operations. He was also the recipient of no fewer than 13 major military awards and decorations. And the vermin in Obama's Defense Department, the fakers in uniform, threw him out. Carey is an American hero, and yet he was relieved of duty for drinking vodka in Russia. Was it not possible for the Air Force to provide an officer with Carey's credentials some sort of rehabilitation for the alleged alcohol problems instead of firing him? I hope that Donald Trump and General Mattis get together and bring back General Michael Carey next. But now I'll go to the next one. Who else did the communist president fire? Jim Giardina. Now, all of this has been lost by you. Most of you don't know this, but I remember everything. I record everything. I absorb everything. I sort everything. And I put it into my books. So let me read what else you need to know about Giardia. Scorched Earth took it from here. Charges against Vice Admiral Giardina were no less fantastic. Do you know who he is? Fired by the cretin in the White House? Giardina was a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, a three-star admiral, who was the former deputy commander in chief of staff of the Pacific Fleet. Now, I wrote, you'd think that if you were going to relieve someone of this stature of his command and reassign him to a desk job, you'd come up with serious charges related to the performance of his duty. But in a move that had to be approved by the president, the sneak himself, Giardina was demoted for having played poker with counterfeit $100 chips in the Horseshoe Casino in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Now, that was never proven, by the way. That's number one. In other words, both of these commanders who have outstanding military records and who have risen to the tops of their commands were dismissed on charges that, in my opinion, would likely have gotten an enlisted man no more than a slap on the wrist. Or let us say one of the girls he put into office. Do you know who the Secretary of the Navy is? Do you know the Secretary of the Air Force has never flown an airplane? Do you know that? One commentator described it this way. This move is exceedingly rare and perhaps unprecedented in the history of U.S. Strategic Command, which is responsible for all U.S. nuclear warfighting forces, including nuclear-armed submarines, bombers, and land-based missiles. So why did Obama purge them? I have the other names of the military men who may be coming back to defend this great nation now that we have swept out or will soon sweep out these turncoat rats that Obama has put in. But Donald Trump is going to need our help every step of the way. Thank God he started at the top and he put Mattis back where he belongs. And let him go after the internal enemies first. That's the only way we will survive. He must purge the military of the KGB-like operatives that Obama planted in every avenue of our armed forces. It's good that Trump is appointing some great men. I'm 100% for it. That will have immediate effects where it's needed. And of course, I said before the election, if he wins, my number one priority would be national security. I said that to you over and over again. Well, that's where Trump's going. Why did he do it? Because he listened to me? No, because it's commonsensical. Obama and his Castro-white minions have so denuded the military, have so implanted vermin in all the intelligence services, that this country is sitting like a vulnerable infant. He's empowered our enemies. Who are our enemies? You mean Iran is our friend? Where did the $175 billion that your great man Obama gave Iran, where did that cash come from? Why has there been no accounting? Where was the money hidden? Who keeps $175 billion in cash laying around? Did they print it? Was it hidden? Is it a slush fund? Where did it come from? Why are there no answers to this question? And while you're answering that question about this great president of ours, where did he get the money to just buy three houses? We read just last week. I was shocked to find out that he bought a beautiful home in an expensive district in Washington, D.C., bought another one in his beloved Hawaii, and he bought another one, I don't remember anymore where it is. Three houses, I said? I didn't see any deals coming through. Where did the money come from that he had the money to buy these three houses, I asked. Look what the rats are doing. They're flooding America with as many people as they can who have absolutely no value whatsoever to this nation. You know, I keep hearing that immigrants are the backbone of America. I keep hearing that they do the jobs that Americans won't do. Then why is he bringing in 15-year-old girls with babies? Why is he bringing in Muslims with six children? Why is it that the immigrants have a much higher use of the welfare system than do indigenous people or the natives of this country? I mean, if you can answer those questions, you'll come to understand that virtual criminals are running the nation. And they're not just ordinary criminals who are doing this for personal gain, although there is tremendous amount of personal gain in flooding the country with immigrants. Catholic Charities, $2.5 billion last year, ripped off out of the tax base. Lutheran Family Services. These are all criminal organizations, in my opinion. What, because the word Catholic is in front of it? It couldn't be run by a bunch of thieves? Take a look at their salaries. Ask yourself, why the hell are we spending $2 billion on Catholic charities? And what have they given us? Oh, wait a minute. I remember what they gave us. Why, that young fellow the other day in Ohio, he was brought in with his five Muslim brethren from Somalia. And, oh yeah, it was Catholic Charities that put him in Columbus, Ohio. Then why hasn't Catholic Charities been sued by the victims who he ran over and knifed? The answer is because I'm not a lawyer. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I can't take my mind off what my mind is really on. You understand what I'm saying? So if my mind is only on this, how can I talk about anything else? I personally believe, and I'll say it the way it is, that Trump winning this election by hook or by crook was God, there was God's hand involved in it. Does that mean Trump is a prophet? No. But God saved America at the last minute. He saved us, as sure as I am sitting here, from this bunch of atheistic, anti-American vermin who have tried to destroy us from within. That's correct. That's exactly what happened. And you know, sometimes God chooses odd people to do his bidding. Look at the story. Look at the story of him choosing Moses. Moses, he was said, I'm choosing you. You're the chosen one to lead your people. He says, ah, come on, don't pick on me. I don't want to do this, Moses said. I can't do it, he said. I stutter. I'm not good looking. I have like a bad face. My skin is no good. No, pick someone else. God says, that's why I'm choosing you, because you're imperfect. So if you look at that statement, and then you look within yourself, you realize that you yourself can have been chosen for things on this earth, no matter how humble you may be. You could be chosen to do something that's great. You may have already seen that. You see, the people who are chosen by God or by fate or by destiny to do wonderful things often don't even know they've been chosen to do so. And I've told you these stories before, and they resonate in me at times, and perhaps times like this. But I truly believe that America is saved. I think that we're only seeing the beginning of the salvation. I believe that once the rats are forced out of the White House, once the rats are purged out of the media, and believe me, make no mistake about it, the vermin behind the rats that you see in the media, they're businessmen and businesswomen at the end of the day. They're business people. If they see that as a result of the left-wing fanaticism, their listenership has collapsed, they're going to start reaching out to people on the other side who represent the 51% of America that they've spit on for the last 10 years. They've been spitting on you. They said you're nobody, you're nothing, you don't go to the movies, you don't watch television, you don't buy books, you don't read this, you don't read that. But they found out you actually exist. And at some point, the boards of directors of these media giants are going to make certain that they talk to you with respect. And then voices like mine will be heard across the land. You will start hear voices like mine. They will start appearing on some of the most unexpected outlets you could ever imagine. And the only reason is because the rats behind the scenes are business people. And all they want is the bottom line. And they finally awakened to the fact that they were spitting on 50% of America, laughing at you, mocking you, calling you every name under the sun. The deplorables, the despicables, the rube, the breeder. But you actually are the backbone of America. And now you have a leadership. And it's only just begun. I mean, he's not even in office yet.
Savage.